Packers fans, welcome into the Green 19 podcast from JS Online and PackersNews.com. I'm Cassidy Hill, joined as always by Tom Silverstein and Ryan Wood here at legendary Lambeau Field.
Just got to get settled.
You okay there?
You got the wiggles.
You got the little wiggles. You
just
do have the
little
wiggles.
A little settled. Got to get settled.
Got my These coffee. Chairs are not the greatest.
Good, no.
We are professionals. Do not try this at home. Guys, as I said, we're here at Lambeau Field, but this weekend we are heading to Chicago for the NFL's oldest rivalry, Part Deux, 2022. And Ryan, I mean, as you kind of pointed out right before we started, like, is this even a game to talk about as much anymore? So this one's for all the marbles that no one else
yeah,
might
no one cares.
Guys, earlier today, I went out to pick up Spoon and me lunch, and I told him when I came back, I said, I made the mistake of not taking my credentials off when I went inside. And somebody stopped me and wanted to tell me all of their opinions about what the Packers should do with Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love and what Jordan Love showed at family night and what that could mean for the future and where is Aaron Rodgers washed? Is it the thumb? Lots and lots of opinions, as I'm sure everyone in Green Bay and for that matter around the NFL has. None of those opinions matter, though. It's going to come down to what Matt LaFleur thinks.
And
what do you think Matt LaFleur thinks? And Brian Gutekunst.
You ran into this fan. I ran into Brian Gutekunst on the way into the locker room.
Really? Mm.
Yeah.
Did he have opinions on this subject as well?
Well, I wished him a happy holidays. And he was like, what holidays? It was pretty funny. But, he admitted, and I mean, it wasn't an interview or anything, but he wants to see how the team does in the next 5 weeks, you know? It's going to tell him a lot about their personnel, about their coaching, you know? He's in charge of all that stuff. And while the game's not going to mean anything in the standings, it is going to mean something for some of these guys on the roster, you know?
I mean, it means something because the alternative is to lose. I think you'd rather win than lose. If you had an option, you pick win. It's a pretty easy choice.
It's a bold statement, Cotton.
But what does the win mean? We're at that point in the season. There's not a lot of significance to
No, there's no significance until they're either eliminated or we're going into week 17 and they still – or week 18 and they still have a chance.
I mean, frankly
– 2% chance?
They probably would be better off by losing. I mean, they're at the point in the season where get the best draft pick you can.
Yeah,
for being
get Jordan Love going.
Yeah.
Because as long as they're in it, I don't think they're playing Jordan Love. I think as long
So you're telling me there's a chance.
You said, and I know we've discussed this a couple of times, but you said a few weeks ago, like if you put Aaron Rodgers on the bench and play Jordan Love, that's the last you've seen of Aaron Rodgers play in a Green Bay Packers uniform. But that was also when they still very much were in the hunt. He said to you this week, Ryan, so I'm going to let you kind of take it from here, that he wants to play as long as there's a chance. And, you know, there's pride of the game. There's love of the game. Then he kind of laughed and said, they're paying me to play. Where do you feel like Aaron Rodgers' mindset is in this whole narrative and conversation about possibly playing Jordan Love to finish out the season?
Oh, there's no question that he wants to play. It would be probably a blaring red flag if he didn't want to play. I mean, everyone should want to play. He said that he would be open-minded to a conversation, that he would not handle that decision with bitterness or resentment. So he's put that on record. And frankly, for the organization, and for Aaron Rodgers too, I'll get to that in a minute, but for the organization, it's the right call. You have to see more of Jordan Love. You've got to, this is a huge offseason. The biggest decision in this offseason is what to do at quarterback. You need all the information you can get, and that means playing Jordan Love, not just in soft two-shell prevent defense, but in actual having him schemed against and for four quarters and stringing weeks together, things he hasn't been able to do. So for them, it's good. And I asked Aaron Rodgers, and it's just my belief, he's not a bad quarterback at this point in his career. He's a battered quarterback. He's got the thumb. He's got the ribs. He has been beaten up. Is it in his best interest to take the last couple games off and get ready for next season? He said it's to assume that nothing's going to change next year around this place. So whatever that means. But if he does come back and if he is the quarterback of the Packers next year, I do think it's in his best interest just to rest. The season's going nowhere. Get rest. Get ready for next year.
Spoon, you've covered Aaron Rodgers his entire career here. it might be in his best interest. Can you sell him on that?
No, absolutely not. And it was a nice thing to say, you know, and it was the right thing to say.
For Rob,
I don't, yeah, I don't believe him 100% that he won't hold a grudge that if they do make him sit for the final 4 weeks. Now, we'll see what happens in Chicago. You know, it's going to be cold. I wouldn't say his ribs are going to be exposed, but, you know, if it's really ugly, what do they do at that point? I mean, other than sit him down. They've got a bye, and he can wait. I would have waited. I would have held him out this week and given him 2 weeks because they got to find out about him, too. I don't know. I understand why they're playing him. I didn't like the way he handled it, you know, kind of went on national radio and said, I'm playing. You know, not that I talked it over with Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst and we decided, you know, the scans look good. I talked to Pat McKenzie. It was, I'm playing. And, I mean, that's not a great look. So, whatever.
I've said, too, I don't mind at all if they want to give him the Bears game. Maybe I'm getting soft. You just slap me a little bit, Spoon. But it's a long-storied rivalry between Aaron Rodgers and Chicago. And you don't know what's going to happen next year. And there's 4 games left after this. That's kind of crazy.
Time.
That's a quarter of the season.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's possible because it feels like this season's been about 3 already. But
yeah,
there's 4 games left after. So there's still time to like get intel on Jordan Love after Chicago. So if they want to do that.
That's right. There is plenty of time.
Yeah. They don't have to like give him 5 games. So
And they would have the bye week to get him ready before those final 4 games.
But if we don't see Jordan Love at all down the stretch, that's a problem.
That would be a problem.
That's a problem.
I would think, my guess is, once they're mathematically eliminated, they'll go to him.
Yeah.
I think they should go to him sooner than that, but I don't think they'll be mathematically eliminated this week.
That's what I was wondering. I didn't know what the...
I haven't really looked
538
hard at
said.
It. Yeah, but pretty close.
They're really close now.
Here's the thing I keep going back to as well, but again, I don't know if you can sell this to Aaron Rodgers. Going to Jordan Love has less to do with Aaron Rodgers and more to do with Jordan Love. You're getting ready to decide if you're going to pick up his fifth-year option. Mm-hmm. You're probably going to have a high draft pick. You've got a good quarterback class coming up. They're still going to, whether or not Aaron Rodgers plays the final 4 games or whether or not he plays here next year, there's still going to be a life after Aaron Rodgers, and you need to know if that's going to be Jordan Love or you need to know if it's going to be a rookie next year.
I also want to see how the team reacts to him. You know, like it seemed like when he was going in, a lot of guys were patting him on the back and were like kind of supportive. But I think you got to see how do players – offense and defense react to having Jordan Love in the game.
I felt like there was just being in the stadium, I don't know if you got the same sense, Cassie, I felt like there was a bit of a juice that he provided. Now, some of that juice, let's be real, some of that juice is a terrible Eagles defense. Like, that didn't hurt.
Yeah.
That Eagles defense is terrible. But
they're terrible against the run. They're not terrible against the pass.
Sunday night they were terrible in everything that they did. But that didn't hurt, but I felt like there was some juice when he came in.
Yeah, and there usually is when a backup quarterback comes in. There's a little bit of a shot of adrenaline because this is a guy that, you know, you're excited to see him get his chance. And
but every time we've seen Jordan Love come in some sort of backup role, it's been a disaster.
Yep. Yeah.
It's been last year in Detroit was just awful.
Right.
And this time it was like he was in total command.
Yeah, he was.
You know, and he didn't make the plays – the final 2 plays, but he was close, you know, the ones that he could have done to.
Those are tough plays for anybody, too.
Yeah, they are, but.
I asked Jordan Love today, first question, did the film look as good as it seemed in real time? He said, yeah, I was pretty happy with the film. He said, you know, there's some things I want back. And I asked him what did he want back, the throw to Cobb. He said the throw to Cobb is the one throw that really stood out that he wanted back. I thought a really interesting play was the play maybe right before that when he hit tried to target Christian Watson in the end zone.
Yeah,
he had Al Lazar wide open.
That's a tough throw, though. I mean, you got to flip that up and hope it hangs.
Yeah, and Lazard was wide open. But I felt, at the time that they had reached a point as an offense, given the situation of the game, where he had to take shots at the end zone. And I thought it was impressive that he skipped the easier throw, because that wasn't to the end zone. I don't think Alan Lazard scores on that play. And he took his shot to the end zone, because you have to preserve time, and you got to score quick. So I think they're, what, down 10 there?
Yeah.
So he said, yeah, I mean, that definitely went into his calculation. Like, he's in the end zone, it's a harder throw, but you got to score as quick as possible.
I give him credit for trying the throw, but if you look at the tape, if he would have run, he would have scored. I think he would have scored, or yeah, it'd have been very close. And but, you know, that's all part of, you know, he wants to go in there and prove he can throw, and I totally get that. You know, it's the thing is, you know, when you're in that situation and you're trying to get a team back, you got to think about whatever it takes to score. You got to do something to get your team into the end zone. And so, that, I mean, but I don't have a horrible feeling about that decision. Cobb was open. I think he, mm-hmm, if he throws a better ball, it's a touchdown.
The one thing with Cobb,
could have been interference too.
I wonder if he was thinking, I didn't ask him this specifically. I'm curious what you think, though. He had a safety charging in from that side. I wonder if he felt like if he put it too much on the other side, that's a pick.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, well, there was.
It was a cautious throw.
Yeah, it was either safety or linebacker. Yes, someone dropping in. You're right. It's possible. Yeah, he possibly saw that in the corner of his eye, saw some color, and was like, I better not lead him too much or he'll get knocked down. But regardless, it was a nice performance. And I do agree with – sorry, I do agree with LaFleur. That one hole shot he took to Aaron Jones, if you look at that, his throw is clearly underneath, and he sees right away that it's going to be that there's going to be a nice gap between the safety and the corner, and goes to it right away, very decisively. And to me, that was impressive.
Yeah, if that is caught, it's his most impressive catch throw of the night.
Oh, it was already his
most impressive throw. Yeah, even
regardless of being caught.
Last thing on Jordan Love before we move on. We kind of laughed about some of the similarities between this and when Rodgers took over for Favre 15 years ago. I mean, they were. It was 2 days away from the 15-year anniversary of when he took over for Favre in Dallas. A lot of Rodgers has given a lot of credit for his development to Tom Clements. He pushed for Tom Clements to come back this summer. And we joked at the time, like, he's not coming back to coach Jordan Love. He's coming back for Aaron Rodgers.
He joked at the time, though.
Yeah.
You remember that?
He
flat out said that.
Right. Like, that's why. But the fact of the matter is, like, how much are you going to be still fixing technique-wise on Aaron Rodgers? Tom Clements has been helping Jordan Love. All of that to say, in sort of the same way that history repeated itself as far as, like, him coming in, have we seen – do you credit this jump in Jordan Love in the decisiveness, the decision-making, the accuracy, do you credit that to some of Tom Clements?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. Love – came in training camp and looked pretty good,
mm-hmm,
you know, which is also the process of 2 years, mm-hmm, of development. Also, he was 2 years under Luke Getsy, who, as we know now, is a pretty good coach, what he's done with Justin Fields. So I'm sure Clements has helped him in some ways, you know. I think it's more just his development. I think it's just taking time. He was a very raw player coming from a crappy team where he had to run and save, you know, his offensive line was horrible. And now he's become more of a system quarterback.
I give it a lot to Jordan Love.
Yeah.
That Kansas City game pissed him off. I don't know if I can say that on this podcast, but it did.
Sure.
That's how he felt. It pissed him off. He you know, there's two ways that you can handle something like that as a young quarterback that's making your first NFL start. Just, you know, let it rattle you and pretend it didn't happen and hide under the bed. Or you can take the film, sit down with it, lock yourself in the film room, be like, that ain't happening again. And that second approach is how he took that.
Don't forget he took him down for a touchdown late in the game to make it a 6-point game.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
That was,
he did.
It was pretty nice drive.
He did. He put a drive together. But I thought it, and Jordan Love thought he was pretty bad in that game. And you saw a night and day difference against Philly. Now, the next test is when he gets pressured and blitzed. Yeah. How is he going to handle that? So you have to, everything that happened Sunday night's a caveat, because it wasn't Steve Spagnuolo sending the entire defense play after play after play. And that's going to happen again, because that's on film. And Jordan Love said that. He knows he's going to face that again. How does he handle that? That's the test. But I give a lot of it to Jordan Love.
Something else that I know we've talked about possibly wanting to see is not only Jordan Love, but Jordan Love with, if he's going to be here, with the receivers of his future, and having Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs on the field together. Romeo Doubs told me in the locker room today that he feels fine and that he feels like physically he can play. And I kind of joked, like, but I guess it's not up to you. And he said, no, it is up to me. He said, it's my decision on if I feel comfortable. And I said, well, where are you at? And he said, 60-40, 70-30. And he said, I feel physically okay. It's just weighing the risk of it. And, you know, what's left unsaid, I would imagine, is you're not really, like, in it anymore. You're getting these reps under your belt more than anything.
He doesn't want to go out there and screw up, because right. Aaron Rodgers will be all over his case if he is. You know, he probably doesn't want to go out and hurt the team and not be have his timing down and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
What, though, would you want to see if you have Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs on the field together? Because they have played very little, actually, together.
Well, first of all, a quick point on Romeo Doubs. I think there's going to be a mental hurdle for him to clear because of the way that the injury happened. And Romeo Doubs told me that he felt that, yes, it was a dirty hit. Going over the middle, back to the defense, that's going to be a mental hurdle. I'm not saying he can't clear it, but that's going to be something that first time over the middle, you're going to be wondering about your legs. So I think that'll be very interesting to see. As far as what to do together, you know, they've basically played three games together all season. You know, they had played five together, but Romeo Doubs got injured the very first drive of the Detroit game, and Christian Watson got injured the first drive of the Buffalo game. So it's been three. I think that there's some excitement. I wonder how it relates to the quarterback's mindset and thinking. I think that there's some excitement about what they could potentially do, given that Christian Watson's having this breakout and Romeo Doubs has looked promising when healthy pretty much since camp, of what they could do together. So it could be good. We don't know. It's all potential and hypothetical right now. But if it is good, I wonder how that kind of influences the quarterback's thinking.
I want to see them on the field, like, all the time. Like, you know, especially once they're mathematically eliminated. I'm sorry, Randall Cobb's not coming back next year, and Aaron Rodgers loves him, but he's not in the future, you know. Alan Lazard probably isn't back next year. He's a free agent. I would have Watson, Touré, and Doubs out there as your three starters. And then, you know, rotate the other guys in as needed. But once they're out of it, that's your future. That's like three guys you are going to be counting on next year in a big time way.
Do you have any problem with them pretending like they're not out of it already?
No, I mean,
they're out of it already.
Like, yeah, they are out of it. But they got it. Crazier stuff has happened, yeah. And I suppose you gotta at least act like it. You know, like something could happen.
There's always a chance. You never know.
There's a 2% chance.
There's a 2% chance.
Yeah.
You're telling me there's a chance.
That's like the percent you have of tasting fat in 2% milk, you know?
Yeah. That is literally the exact.
Exactly.
That is
right?
A hell of an analogy there, Spoon. Thank you.
It's like all skim milk, and then all of a sudden there's 2%.
I'm a 1%er. I'm a 1%er, by the way.
All of the metaphors you could have come up with. I thought you were going to say that's the chance you have of getting struck by lightning.
Like, I thought you were going to say something that wasn't like verifiable, but then I was like, wait, it's Spoon.
That's
He's going to definitely verify everything he said.
Yeah, right.
That's the chance you have of seeing a double rainbow. Nope, that's the chance you have of tasting the fat in milk.
2% milk.
2% milk.
We got any 1%ers here?
I used to be, but I don't drink milk anymore.
I grew up on skim milk. Now I don't know why. I do the 1%.
Yeah, my parents were all skim milk.
We better be careful with this conversation in Wisconsin.
I hope I'm not getting judged. I love milk. I drink milk all the time. I drink it out of the carton, straight out of the carton.
Quick story. When I was in high school, you know, I'm a city boy, and my high school went up north to play in a basketball tournament. I was the manager. And
you were the starting forward?
No. And I stayed on a farm, and they served 100% milk. You know, I mean, right from the cow. Yeah. And I tried it, and I almost puked.
I'll tell you something.
I was like, I've never tried anything like this.
That milk is pretty good.
For me, after having been all skim milk to that point, I thought I was going to, you know,
goat
barf.
Milk like that is pretty good, too.
Is that like whole milk? Stupid question.
Yes, that is whole milk. 100%. But it's even, it's different than what you get in the store.
And the key is to put a little bit of chocolate syrup in the bottom of the Ziploc bag. And then squirt the milk into the Ziploc bag and shake it up, stick a straw in it, chocolate milk. Can you tell I grew up on a farm?
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on from milk.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the defense. That's going to be fun.
Who?
The defense.
They have
one? Exactly.
They
do
have
exist.
A defense?
At least on paper. At least on paper, they do exist. Much the same, Justin Fields, we should note, was a full participant on Thursday's practice report. It looks more and more like he's going to be playing on Sunday. I asked Matt LaFleur on Wednesday, can you use, after seeing what Jalen Hurts did to your defense, do you have to change your approach to the game plan for Justin Fields? And he kind of reverted back to, no matter what's called, we've got to tackle. 22 missed tackles versus the Eagles. That being said, let me ask you, can you, after seeing what Jalen Hurts did to this defense, should they change their approach for what they're going to do with Justin Fields? Is that tenable? Is that sustainable?
Well, they're facing a completely different team. I mean, first of all, they are very, you know, run-oriented. Second, they don't have the wide receivers that Philadelphia has. And thirdly, they don't have the offensive line that Philadelphia has. So to me, it's a totally different game. You can put more people near the line of scrimmage. You don't have to worry as much about their wide receivers.
You're saying the Bears are going to have to run, like they have no choice.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Packers, if they can't cover those guys, no offense to Chase Claypool, and, you know, Darnell Mooney's out now. Equanimeous St. Brown, always liked him when he was here.
Yeah.
But, you know, if their guys can't cover that, they should have, like, eight guys in the box the entire game.
They shouldn't be playing man. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
They need to knock out the man. I don't know why they played so much man last week, and I don't think you can turn your back to Justin Fields. So they're going to have to communicate in zone coverage, which is the harrowing phrase of this Packers season.
I would set up Keyshawn Nixon as my spy. He's a dog, you know. Mm-hmm. I would just say, hey, wherever Justin Fields goes, you go. You know, I don't care. You know, how it takes us out of the defense, just you be the guy, you know.
I like that because, you know, usually when you talk about employing a spy, you think of it as a linebacker. But do you have a linebacker that's fast enough to keep up with him? You would think it would be Quay Walker, but I don't think
He's fast enough. He's just
yesterday,
it's a lot of pressure to put
Wednesday,
on him.
Wednesday, I don't know if y'all heard, but like a lot of the defensive guys were like picking on Quay Walker about not scoring. When he picked up that fumble.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. That was painful.
And they were like, Quay, by the end of that, you were so ready to be done. And I kind of turned around and I said, yeah, Quay, I thought you were fast. And they lost it. And he was like, I ran the same 40 time as Rasul did at the combine.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jair Alexander said next time he's going to make Quay give it to him.
Yeah. Honestly, I thought about that. Like, lateral it because
it looked at one point like he was asking for it, and so I asked Jair yesterday, I was like, were you asking for it? And he said, no, I was telling him to follow my block, but next time I'm asking for it.
Well, and then he missed his block too. He like totally whiffed on his block.
Yeah.
But yeah, at the end of that, Quay Walker looked like he just stopped.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like when your blood sugar is down to nothing and you've got nothing left.
He looked like Eddie Lacy running through the heart of the Arizona Cardinals defense circa 2015.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same. It's what same thing I was thinking.
Bowling ball and then done.
Yeah, it's like it's rolling and it loses its momentum and it just stops.
Huffing and puffing.
Anyway. All of that to say, Keyshawn Nixon is a spy. That's an interesting concept.
You know,
it is.
I don't know. I'm half mostly joking, but I'm like, find one guy who on this defense is playing pretty well. And
during that Quay return, if you go back and watch it, Keyshawn Nixon laid a monster block and then turned around and yelled at the guy while he was on the ground.
So, I like that guy. He is a dog.
All I'm going to say is that the Packers have a better chance of making it to the playoffs than the defense has of Joe Barry coming up with that concept. Too creative.
That's a good point.
There's no way that I'm with you. You'd said that, kind of percolated the ears a little bit. Yeah. Oh, hey, might have something there. Nope, not going to happen.
It felt like, at least versus the Eagles, they sent more pressure than they had been in previous games. Is that just because of what you have to do against that offense, or is that maybe, hey, what do we have to lose? Let's see what we've got here. You're still having to make up for the loss of Rashawn Gary. Did it seem like that to you both, that maybe there was more pressure than there had been?
I thought that they played a light box way too much. Like, I thought they should have gone to a five-man front and just said, you are not running the ball against us, you know? And then even if you have to bring another safety down and put Alexander on A.J. Brown and Keyshawn Nixon on Devontae Smith and roll with it. I mean, that's what they should have done the second half once they realized they couldn't stop this guy. But they just stuck with their game plan from what it looked like to me. They did pressure some, yeah.
The one thing I will say is I thought Justin Hollins and J.J. Inabare made some plays.
Yeah.
Justin Hollins set the edge better than he has all season.
Like, where does this come
from?
I
know.
And it's we're at the point in the season where we're thinking about next year, and that's no small thing if they might actually have some depth at edge, because it's been a minute since you felt that way about this defense. So if
they
can
build
on that,
won't have Gary back until October next year.
Yep.
You know, so.
So all of that to say, we've talked about, like, with Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers wanting to sort of almost prepare for next year, for these last five games on defense. What do you want to see? And we've talked ad nauseum about the coaching part of it and, you know, wanting to see maybe Jerry Gray call plays or get a head start on the coaching carousel. But on the field, do you want to see Keyshawn Nixon outside? Do you want to see – I mean, we don't at this point know what their future plans are with Darnell Savage. He was only used one play versus the Eagles. It was in dime, and he was hurt on that play. Asked him today how he was feeling. He said, my foot. And I said, yeah. And he said, it's footing. So he physically could be back out there. But, you know, do they put him back out there?
He didn't practice today, so I don't think he's going to play. I would like to see them try something. You know,
and keep
just
in mind,
try
you'll have
something.
Eric Stokes back next year.
Yeah, try something different. Try Rasul. I've been saying this all year. Try Rasul Douglas at safety. I even think that Rudy Ford could play the slot if you needed. You know, he did that last year in Jacksonville, I believe. You know, try something. What does it hurt? You know, what are you waiting for? It took them so long to do all these other things that most people looked at and said, well, just do it. And I don't really understand.
I think regardless of who plays safety, whenever he's healthy, I think you have to see Darnell Savage stay in the slot, because at this point, safety ain't it,
right.
And he's coming back next year.
Yep.
So you've got to give him as much slot snaps as possible, because that fifth year, that next year's guaranteed. They got to find a home for him. He's coming back.
He's their slot next year.
Yeah.
I mean, they just got to get his confidence back, and they got to find a way to use him. Whoever's defensive coordinator next year will figure out a way to use him.
What if it's Joe Barry?
What if unicorns are real?
Anyways, so you're saying put Savage in the slot, Keyshawn outside, Rasul at safety.
It's worth a try. I mean, I don't know if Keyshawn Nixon can play outside, but he can pretty much do anything. I mean, he'll give it a
play there.
The length, no, but he'll give it a shot. I mean, you know, I wouldn't put it. He's like last year's Rasul Douglas, like.
Hungry.
Rasul Douglas did everything he could to survive and play. And I don't think Rasul Douglas is a bad player. I think he's been put in a position where they're playing a different defense. They're not getting as much pass rush as they did last year. They're just not same team.
Well, Savage is the slot next year because Rasul Douglas needs to be on the perimeter.
Yeah, yeah.
The other thing I want to see, it's time to throw Devontae Wyatt out there. Yes. You got to play him a ton.
Yeah, and they did. They did play him more this last game.
Yes, they did. But that's got to continue and probably even increase. You got to play him a ton. You got to see what you got there.
Yeah, and T.J. Slayton. I mean, I really would go with those three guys, with Clark, Slayton, and Wyatt as my starters. Because Jerron Reed, you don't know if he's going to be here. Lowry probably won't be here. That's your future again. Yeah. So go with it, you know.
And then having Devontae Campbell back in there makes a huge difference as well.
It does. It does.
Especially for Quay.
Yeah, huge for him. And huge for the defense. You know, there's been times where, you know Campbell would adjust the defensive line because he'd see something and he'd tell Kenny Clark, move over us, you know, a gap or, you know, and they've missed that quite a bit from him.
Last thing, because I know we're wrapping up here, but like I talked to Chris Barnes about that today. And he said, we've got to get back to where we were more towards the beginning of the year when he was injured. I don't even think he was playing, with communicating better. Because he harped on that as well, that there's been too many miscommunication issues. And he took the blame and said that comes down to him and Quay. You know, they're the ones that have to make sure that that doesn't happen. And it's been happening too much. And, of course, having Devontae Campbell back out there would make a huge, huge difference in that issue.
Yeah. And I hope people aren't giving up on Quay Walker because he missed tackles and, he does some stuff that's, you're like, boy, that's not very good. But this guy physically, and he's not an idiot, he's not a dumb football player. He seems to be very bright and he's a monster. He's going to be a good player.
The way I've described him for weeks now is he's been a very promising rookie. And emphasize rookie. Like, he's got loads of potential. There's no question about that. He's also been swimming because that's what rookies do.
Yeah.
Wait till year two.
You know, if anything, the salvation for Brian Gutekunst might be this draft because that's, with him and Watson, that's like two very big impact players.
Yeah.
You know, and that's all you can hope for out of a draft is two really, really good players, and I think he got two.
Now we just got to figure out the third round.
Yeah,
man, that has just been some GMs. That's just the way it is. Like, third round was Ron Wolf's money round through every year. Third round, he came up with Antonio Freeman and Brian Williams, and there's so many guys I can't even remember them now. But third round is like, trade all your third round picks, Gutekunst.
Yeah,
you know.
Take him in the fourth if you have to.
Fourth is better for him. Right. Fourth is way better for him.
Yeah. Zach Tom was a fourth rounder, and he might be a player. Yeah. When
that's
he's played.
Up, that's where he picked up Dobbs.
Yeah, he's looked
Dobbs,
pretty good.
Right.
But Sean Ryan.
Anyways, I know we're going to have to get to coaches here.
Yeah,
so we're going
to
sign off real quick. No scores, because that'll be in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and Green Bay Press Gazette. But give me your two-sentence prediction for this game.
Go ahead, Ryan.
The Bears.
Really?
Yeah. I think that the Bears and the Packers right now are two teams that are going in for this season. Not big picture. We don't know about big picture yet, but this season going in different directions. I think the Bears will be the hungrier team. After what I saw Sunday night in Philly, I can't pick the Packers.
Really?
No.
See, I might would go the other way for the same reason.
They look like a completely defeated team on that field in Philadelphia, and now they got to contend with Justin Fields. I can't do that.
I have to figure out whether Aaron Rodgers is healthy. So if he plays like he did against the Eagles, then I think they can win that game. If he plays like the guy who played against Tennessee, then they're going to lose. So I'm still got to figure that out.
I think there's a little bit of ump to Aaron Rodgers for this game. As you said, he has a long history with Chicago. I think that's what stoked his fire versus the Cowboys as well, when he was so accurate. And so on the flip side of the ball, the Packers defense is, on paper at least, so much more talented than this Bears offense, other than Justin Fields. And to your point, the Bears offense is not near as talented as the Eagles offense. So that being said, is why I think I would it should be the Packers in this game. We'll have to see what happens. If nothing else, the tie will be broken.
Yes, unless they tie.
Don't wish that voodoo on me, Ricky Bobby. Don't you do that. Okay, whatever happens, we will be there to cover it for you all. We'll all be there, right?
Yep.
I think so. Spoon's live blog will be going before and during the game. Pete and I have post-game Facebook Live for you. And then the three of us will be back with our post-game Green 19 podcast. Guys, thank you as always. This has been the Green 19 podcast from JS Online and PackersNews.com.